racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
A big welcome back into the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bupka. Very proud to be here with Jay Randolph Jr. You might know him better as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. And of course, he's the head honcho at the Normandy Golf Club in St. Louis. And let me tell you, it is the oldest public course west of the Mississippi. And it is a rare treat. If you're anywhere in that St. Louis area, I highly recommend Normandy Golf Club. Well, Jay, officially summer. It's hot here in Texas. One thing I know for sure, not going to be hot in Northern Ireland, and that's where we'll be next week.
You know, I'm very jealous of you and our executive producer, Janice, getting to go over there for this historic championship. It's supposed to be hot in Texas, and it's supposed to be hot in St. Louis. It's summer. But I think, you know, a little later in the show, we're going to talk with a gentleman who knows all about Irish golf and Ireland. And I think people will be very interested to hear our chat with Brian Keogh and learn more about what this golf course is going to be like and what the scoring will be like and what the crowds will be like. We're all getting ready for the Open Championship, now the last of the four majors.
Yeah, absolutely. Just seemed like yesterday, Mr. Randolph, we were talking about the upcoming Masters, and now we're at the granddaddy of them all, the Open Championship, and this one really special. And glad you mentioned that. That was a nice conversation we had with Brian Keogh. He knows the ins and outs of Irish golf, and our listeners will get a great education on what that's all about. But first, we got to talk about something that happened last week, and I might as well just pose the question, who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Well, after his performance last week, I guess it's Matt Wolf that the PGA Tour should be afraid of.
I tell you what, Bob, it for a golf geek like myself, it was the best finish of a PGA Tour event other than a non-major. And I think it was the storylines. I mean, clearly with Matt Wolf, 2 years removed. Let me say it again. 2 years removed from winning the United States Junior Amateur. This guy is paired in the final group with a kid he used to play high school golf with, who's a kid who just finished college out of Cal Berkeley. They're in the final group of a PGA Tour event, and who's there but the kid who was the hot kid of the week or the month back in February, and that was Bryson DeChambeau, who'd started the tournament so well, couldn't necessarily find it along the way, the final 35, and then on the 36th hole of the weekend, the 72nd hole of the tournament, Bryson hits the money shot of the championship, makes eagle. You got these two rookies, and it's hard to even call them rookies because they got no status, either one of them. So you got two kids without status in the middle of the fairway on the 72nd hole, and you got Morikawa, who knocks it to about 30 feet or 25 feet for eagle. He hits the better of the two shots, but Matt Wolf, the kid who just turned 20, makes eagle on the 72nd hole, and it's a life changer. And it should send messages because I started thinking immediately of that tier that we talk about so often of Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka. I mean, these guys have to take notice. Bob, I thought it was one of the most historic events in recent memory on the PGA Tour.
Well, I echo those sentiments, and I have my own thoughts on what did transpire with Mr. Wolf. But I think first, let's be kind to our listeners and let them listen to what the big bad wolf had to say.
It's life changing. It's something that I've always dreamed of as a kid growing up, and this round was, I learned a lot from it. But you know, to have it end like this was everything I could have hoped and wished for. Putt on the last was something that changed my life forever. you know, with winning nationals, which was something that, you know, I really dreamed of as well. And then coming here three tournaments later and winning on the PGA Tour, it's definitely, you know, something that I never thought could have happened. I believed in myself, but, you know, to see it, you know, unravel and this is how it's happening is really special. You know, I knew as soon as I left college that I'm out here with the best players in the world and I have to prove myself. And I did that. And now I'm just free to play my game and, you know, do what I love. My mind was actually pretty calm. I was really nervous. I was shaking a little bit once I was, you know, behind the putt, but I took a couple deep breaths and that settled me down. And I just, you know, I've been told so many times before that, you know, I was born for moments like these. I live for moments like these and, you know, it doesn't get better than this. I had a blast out there and to make that putt was everything.
It's amazing. You know, I get a kick, Jay, out of the line. You know, he said, I always dreamed about this while I was growing up. That's like a five-year-old winning the Indianapolis 500, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, look what he did. I mean, he won the NCAAs just a matter of days, and then he gets into a PGA Tour event, and he wins that. How historic is winning an NCAA championship and winning on the PGA Tour in the same year? Well, it's only been done twice before in history, and I think our listeners may have heard of the two names. Ben Crenshaw did it, and then Tiger Woods did it. And now the Big Bad Wolf has done it, and he did it in grand style. I share your excitement level, Jay. I mean, making an eagle on the last hole to win your first PGA Tour event, I guarantee you if we go back 80 years, it's not going to have happened many times. Making an eagle on the 72nd hole to win by a shot, I mean, absolutely incredible stuff. And he has one heck of a bright future. He certainly has a you know, unique, I guess, golf swing, Jay. And
yes,
like you said, you're a real golf geek, and you were a hell of a stick in your day. What do you think of Matt Wolf's action?
Well, I remember when Jim Furyk came to the University of South Carolina as a high school senior, and we took him out on his recruiting trip. And the next day, the coach said to me, what was he like? I said, well, he's kind of low-key. He's not as dumb as we are. You know, he didn't want to get bombed or anything. But he said, you know, he's got a goofy swing. And I said, okay, well, we didn't hear anything. He wasn't coming to South Carolina. He went to Arizona. His name was Jim Furyk. I mean, you know, if you can repeat it and you have confidence in it, you can do it. And that's what this kid believes. And the comparisons, I mean, the other guy, the guy ahead of him, Bryson DeChambeau, does everything so meticulously. And then you see these two kids who are just out there playing golf and trying to, you know, not when they miss a putt, they're not looking at it and looking at the diameters and looking at greens books. I mean, it was a tournament that I didn't have much interest in. Because I was more interested, really, in what was going on at La Hinch because I played there with the duty-free Irish Open. But I got to tell you, I mean, this was phenomenal stuff to have really three young guys when you throw in Bryson. It was almost like the future. My buddy Skip Berkmeyer, who I referenced, fine mid-amateur player, texted me and goes, two future Ryder Cuppers right there.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff to even think in those terms. But that's the modern-day player now.
You're not kidding.
I mean, you and I have been around long enough, Jay, to remember when they used to come to the PGA Tour. Basically a learning process, maybe for the first 3, 4, 5 years sometimes. Well, what hotels to stay in, what restaurants to eat, but nothing about winning like it is today. I got a phone call right after it was over, and a golf buddy of mine said he missed the action, but he heard that a guy by the name of Matt Wolf had won, and he said to me, is Matt Wolf the guy with that unique swing? I said, it really is. He said, well, how do you describe it, Bob? I said, well, can you imagine an octopus in a phone booth trying to hit a golf ball? That's what I see when I see Matt Wolf. But I will say this much. He may go through a lot of gyrations getting to the ball, but that club comes in, and guess what? His club head speed is second only to Cameron Champ on the PGA Tour. Second only to Cameron Champ. And Cameron Champ goes at it at a pretty good pace, somewhere around 130 miles per hour. So whatever Wolf does in preparation for the strike, he certainly has it going in his favor. Second youngest winner at 20 years old in 80 years, of course, Jordan Spieth was the youngest. So as you mentioned, it was not a qualifying event for the Open. I was wondering, you know, Matt Wolf, you know, if I was talking to Matt Wolf, I might have said, I wonder if we can get in the Scottish Open. And, you know, because they got three spots there. He's going to John Deere. I mean, he does, if he finishes higher than anybody that's not qualified, he will get an exemption. I, for one, would love to see him at Royal Port Rush. We'll have to wait and see on that. That's asking an awful lot of a young man. But you know what? I not only enjoyed him on the golf course, Jay, but I enjoyed him in the media room. Very candid, very honest. Hats off to a couple of other guys. Tom Lehman played pretty well. He's he's kind of a folk hero in Minnesota, sure. And I was glad to see that. Koepka, what do you say about his performance? It's a regular PGA Tour event. he's only going in there, on half. Half his cylinders. We'll see what happens with Koepka when he gets over to. Port Rush, and he turns it on in that major championship. At the Irish Open that you mentioned, La Hinch, John Rahm, the winner, second time he's won it in the last 3 years. Here's what he had to say.
I'm thrilled to be able to be a Irish Open champion again for the second year and enjoying the likes of Seve. I think he won it three times, and to be the second Spaniard to win it more than once. It's a lot of pride to take on that, and I'm honored.
John Rahm, you call him Rombo, and you've been doing it for quite some time, Jay. A lot of Seve in John Rahm.
Bobby shot a buck 26 over the final 36. He shot 62-64 at freaking La Hinch. You can take some guys to the 150 marker that are decent players, and they're not going to shoot a buck 26. I mean, he had to finish this off, and he did. I mean, this is in normal times, in what Bob and I used to understand, this would be a performance where you'd say, man, this guy's got to be the favorite at the British. I mean, he does it on a links-style golf course like La Hinch. It's just phenomenal. And now he rolls, now they roll to Scotland. Before they head back to Ireland at the Renaissance Club at North Berwick, you got Rory, Justin Thomas. It's his first ever Scottish Open. Ricky Fowler, who won a couple years ago. Kuchar's going over early. A lot of guys getting the test of links-style golf. And for the European Tour, Bob, this will be the second of three links championships in a row with going to La Hinch and now North Berwick and then to Port Rush.
Yeah, it's really showboating the European Tour, and rightfully so. Hats off to all those American players that they're trying to enhance their opportunity to win an Open Championship, and I think what they're doing is absolutely outstanding. Of course, the John Deere, they'll be running that charter, be leaving on Sunday night right over to Ireland, and then after the event's over, they'll bring them back to the FedEx St. Jude Invitational. Pretty nice, perk by John Deere. They run a good tournament there, and they have for years. You got to give them credit. And when they came up with this idea about the charter,
it was a game changer.
Yeah, absolute game changer. Good word there, Jay. Zach Johnson, can you believe it? 18th consecutive start in the John Deere. Of course, it's his home. Lucas Glover, who showed a little brilliance in Minneapolis there, a little 62 on Sunday. Cameron Champ, Maybe he's getting a little tired of Matt Wolf already. you know, Champ was the flavor of the month not too long ago and really hasn't proven to, you know, play up to all the hype. But, you know, he's very young and very talented. You can't count him out.
Well, and Bob, how'd you like to be Vic Hovland? Guy that's the low-am in the Masters, low-am at the U.S. Open, played for Oklahoma State. You could make the argument that heading into the NCAA championships, the majority of people would have told you Victor Hovland's future is brighter than Matt Wolf's. But, you know, his college teammate has now won on the PGA Tour. Now, Vic's playing some good golf, too. He keeps stringing together cuts on the PGA Tour, and he's trying to earn status for the wraparound season, which will start in October, and avoid the Corn Ferry Tour. So I mean, you know, Victor's got to be going, man, if Matt Wolf can win, so can I. Watch out for Victor this week in the Quad Cities.
I don't know who avoids the Corn Ferry Tour more, the players or Jay Randolph Jr., to tell you the truth.
Time for a short timeout. And when we come back, we'll hear a discussion Bob and I had with Brian Keough from the Irish Golf Desk. We loved it. It's an online production that's from Tee to Green, Irish Golf News and Features. Great follow, especially as we lead up to the Open Championship. And he's our main man in Ireland, and he certainly knows what he's talking about. That's next, as you're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, and you shall be connected.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Well, Jay, we have a special guest joining us right now. We're going to get some inside scoop as to what happened last week, what's going to happen next week. We're joined by Brian Keough. He's from the Irish Golf Desk, and he is definitely one of the more respected Irish golf journalists, and I've known him for years. Thanks for doing this. Brian, say hello to Jay.
Good morning, Jay. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
We are fantastic. We are, Bob and I have been talking about this for, seems like forever. The fact that the Open Championship was going to such a special place, back to Northern Ireland, back to the Emerald Isle. We can't wait. It should be something almost 70 years since the championship's been conducted in Northern Ireland.
And Brian, before we even get to the Open Championship and certainly all the excitement that promises to bring. Want to get caught up to date on the performance by Jon Rahm at the Irish Open. He seems to have an affinity for playing in that Irish Open. Definitely one of a world-class talent.
Unbelievable talent, yeah. I mean, to shoot 64, 62 over the last two rounds and come from seven back to win by two was seriously impressive. That guy has got another level of talent that really there's very few guys out there, apart perhaps from, you know, some of the young guys coming up on the PGA Tour that we're seeing in recent days with your Matthew Wolfs and people like that. So he's got the bit between his teeth, certainly going up to Portrush.
You look at the scoring. I mean, to shoot 126 over the weekend by Jon Rahm, and Bob and I have talked a lot
about John Rahm and how close it seems like he is to getting his first major championship. I mean, I've played that golf course. To go around there in 126 is pretty scary.
It is. It is. I mean, I don't know what it is about Irish Open sometimes when the weather is fine, but courses where a 75 would be a good score on some days when the wind is really howling, they got it absolutely perfect conditions with a few tees moved here and there. But other than that, it was really impressive. And what impressed me most about him was, you know, mentally how strong he was, especially on that little 13th hole, little drivable par four where he made a five. And, you know, in the past years, perhaps the John Rahm of 18 months ago, 2 years ago, might have blown his top after something like that. But he came straight back with two unbelievable birdies, especially on the 15th out of the heavy rough, with his caddy telling him, just go left of the flag here, just put it in the middle of the green. And he ignored him and went straight at the pin, 3 feet. And that was it. He was out of sight. So it was impressive. He's 24, but he just seems to be maturing. He seems to be just coming really into, you know, his peak at the moment. It's rather impressive. And, you know, with the putter behaves as it did for him at the weekend, he held nothing for the first 2 days. If the putter behaves up in Port Rush and with the links practice he's had now and a few days off, he's going to have to recharge the batteries. He'll be dangerous anyway around Port Rush, that's for sure.
You know, Brian, before we get to Port Rush, the name J.P. Fitzgerald has surfaced. Apparently, Matthew Wolf hired J.P. For the tournament up in Connecticut, the Travelers. Wolf finishes 80th, and J.P.'s down the road. First off, I didn't know that J.P. was interested in coming back to the caddy ranks. Obviously, the longtime caddy of Rory McIlroy. Did that surprise you, Brian, or were you well aware of the fact that J.P. Was looking to get a bag?
No, J.P. has been in sort of semi-retirement since Rory let him go a couple of years ago after the Open. And, you know, he did rather well on Rory's bag. I remember him talking about a tsunami hitting his bank account when Rory won the FedEx Cup. I think he got the nice 10% of that check. So that was a seven-figure sum. So he's not a man who needs to work again, really, if he doesn't want to. So he's been I was surprised. But then again, when you get a chance to caddy for a talent like Matthew Wolf, having been on the bag of Rory McIlroy, I don't think he'd be going to any sort of lesser type player. So I was surprised not to see him last weekend. We were busy at the Irish Open and wondering where JP was. We hadn't paid too much attention to what was happening in Minnesota when we were enjoying ourselves in Lahinch, which was great fun. So I was a little surprised, but I'm not sure if that was meant to be a long-term arrangement or just a stopgap for a short while. I'm not fully aware of what was happening.
Yeah, before we talk about the venue itself, as I mentioned, you and I have had the opportunity to go to Ireland numerous times. Love the people. I'm just curious, you know, what this means to the golf fans and the people of Ireland to have the 148th Open Championship played there.
Well, it's an interesting one. I mean, you get people from the Republic of Ireland, and a lot of people have always called it the British Open, and sometimes you know, the rebranding of the event as the Open has certainly been part of the RNA's remit for the last few years to remind us this is just the Open. It's open to the world, as it were, and it just has to be played on a links course. It's nothing to do with the United Kingdom or Great Britain. It's the Open Championship. So having the Open Championship in Ireland is fantastic for Northern Ireland, who where they've obviously gone through you know, many years of difficulties with all the terrorism that was going on there from the 1970s. So that's a huge deal for everybody up there that the Open is coming back for the first time since 1951. Interestingly, most of the tickets, I think 75% of the tickets, have been bought by people from south of the border as well. So it's going to be an unbelievable sellout. I think the Irish Open, when it was held there in Port Rush in 2012, that was, I think it was 130,000 people turned up in brutal lashing rain for 5 days there, which shows you how starved they were in Northern Ireland of top-class tournament golf for so many years. So there's a huge appetite to see this championship played, and the crowds are just going to be unbelievable. I think there's a lot of excitement on both sides of the border, I have to say. I mean, golf is an all-Ireland sport. In Ireland, at amateur level, there's no differentiation between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland in that regard. So it's going to be one hell of a party, I think.
Our special guest is Brian Keogh from the Irish Golf Desk. I know they changed a couple of holes at Royal Portrush. What kind of examination is that golf course going to provide for the best players in the world, Brian?
Well, Portrush, you know, it has that special sort of gnarly rough with lots of little wild rose in it and all sorts of other nasty things. It's very undulating as well. So if you go in there, you're not going to have a flat lie like you might at some of the old other courses on the open rota. So you're going to have to be straight. You're going to have to be very straight. I don't think length is going to be any kind of a problem for these guys unless it's really blowing. And then you've got downwind holes as well. So it's going to be a course where you're going to have to really put it in the fairway. I know the rough is not terrifically bad. It was a very, very dry summer over here last year. So the rough hasn't come back quite as much as it could have been. So it won't be that brutal. But it's staying on the fairway really is the premium at Royal Portrush, because you've got a lot of raised greens where it's not always possible to run the ball in low. In from the semi rough, say, or for the rough where you're getting a chasing ball, so you're really going to have to be on the fairway. And I've already heard quite a few people saying, "Get your money on Frankie Molinari now for the Open Championship to defend," because he's that type of player who hit fairways, hit greens, and just make all those pars that you're going to have to make at Portrush. So it's an interesting course. It's not one for the bombers. It's one for guys who can. Put that ball in play off the tee, whether it be long irons or fairway woods, and really precise iron play to greens with a lot of runoffs, a lot of slopes, and a lot of little tricky swales to catch you out. And if the wind blows, and just looking at the forecast, we're certainly going to get some wind. It's going to be a really, really interesting test, and in front of a great crowd.
Brian, in the last couple of major championships, We have seen guys be able to score and get it under par and get it deep under par, partly because of where we're at in the game with the length and all that stuff. But the weather has not been that big a factor. We saw that at Pebble Beach. But you get a sense here that par may be at a premium because of conditions and because of this golf course. Is it too early to start to think about what a winning score may be, because these guys are so good now and we don't know necessarily about the weather? And it's almost as if the only defense anymore is the weather.
Yeah, I don't think the RNA are too caught up in, you know, in what the winning score is going to be. I think they just want to produce the best champion for the course that nature gives them that week. So, you know, they've been concentrating on their fairway widths, on the rough widths, on the firmness of the greens especially. That's been a huge thing. And the greens in Portrush, even though there's going to be a little bit of rain this week, they will links courses dry out very quickly, and those greens are ringing. If you tap your club, you get that nice ringing sound on links turf, and I think that's what they want. So, you know, whether it's, you know, 4, 5, or 12 under par, we just don't know how it's going to go. I don't think par is necessarily a relevant question, really, when it comes to the Open. You know, I think the course will be such a great test that it'll bring out the only the very, very best will be able to handle it, and it'll produce a very worthy champion.
I mean, I know we're still a little bit a ways away. We got the Scottish this week off of La Hinch, and then guys with the preparation. Have you made a pick yet, or are you holding that till next week?
Yeah, I think I'll just hold on a little bit, but certainly, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Rory McIlroy play well. I know he's been targeting this for a long time. He's he knows Port Rush well. He's the type of player who's played extremely well in the Open Championship for the last, if you look back at his record over the last four or five times he's played, I don't think he's been outside the top eight or ten. Certainly he's been in the top five quite a few times in recent years. I don't have his record right in front of me, but you know, he's a player who's learned a lot more about his course management. He can certainly put the ball in play off the tee with irons if he has to plot his way around. The wind perhaps would be the biggest factor that might be a challenge for Rory. But I'm looking at him. Certainly, I see him as a player who has a good chance. And Graham McDowell, who's a local player who grew up in Port Rush, who learned all his golf in Ratmore Golf Club there at Royal Port Rush, which shares the Valley course there. And he's played Royal Port Rush hundreds and hundreds of times since he was a small boy. So he's playing well right now, and he's a player who's accurate, put it in the fairway, and has a great short game and can putt. So he's a guy that, you know, you might get decent enough odds on Graham McDowell doing well. He might be a decent bet.
One last thing before we let you go, and you can follow Brian on Twitter at Irish Golf Desk. And Brian, Brooks Koepka, certainly all the talent in the world, and he's going to be coming to Port Rush with his caddy on the bag, Ricky Elliott, who grew up there, knows everything about Port Rush. I'm assuming that that's going to be a big edge for Brooks Koepka, having Ricky on the bag.
Absolutely. I mean, the only difference is that Ricky Elliott hits the ball a little bit differently to Brooks Koepka, so they're going to have to get a new handle on the lines off the tees. So Ricky has already been out there. He knows what to expect in Royal Port Rush. He knows Koepka's game better than anybody, and this guy just seems to be able to turn it on for major championships. He just seems to find that the tougher the test, the better for him. You can eliminate 80 guys straight away before we even start, you know, after the first round, that you could probably burn off another 20 or 30. So that's just the mindset that guy has. And Elliot, Ricky, you know, he knows that course so well. Funnily enough, he's very close friends with Graham McDowell. It was a pity not to see Koepka come to the Irish Open, the Hinge, last week. Graham was telling us about how he celebrated his 21st birthday down in La Hinch when he won the South of Ireland back in 2000. And they were going back to the hotel one night, and they said, okay, let's toss for it. Heads for pints in the pub, tails for go home and rest up for the next day. So it came out tails for go home, and they ignored that and went for pints. And Graham went on to win the tournament, beating Ricky that next day in the afternoon. So you know, there's going to be a fun element to the Open, I think, up in Port Rush. I think they're going to have a fantastic time. The crowds are going to be absolutely unbelievable. There are going to be 40,000 odd there every day, 75% of them Irish. So you've got to have a look at an Irish player doing well, and if they aren't, we'll take Ricky Elliott on the bag for Brooks Koepka anytime.
Well, as we let you go, Brian, you may want to alert those that are inclined to go into the betting shops there. Tiger Woods has implemented a unusual preparation for competing in the Open Championship. He now is getting up at 1 a.m. here, so that when he gets over there, it's going to be just normal wake-up time for Tiger Woods. I've never heard of anybody doing that, but it could work. But nobody works any better than Brian Keogh from the Irish Golf Desk. Brian, enjoy the Scottish Open. Can't wait to see you, my friend, at Royal Port Rush. And on behalf of Jay, I certainly want to say thank you for being in the grill room with Bob and Jay.
Thank you, guys. Looking forward to it. We'll see you all next week.
Great knowledge on Irish golf and the Open Championship at Port Rush from Brian Keogh. Don't forget, you can find Brian's information at Irish Golf Desk. Just Google it and you'll have it. We're going to catch our breath. Bob and I are going to let our Guinnesses settle. And when we return, we're going to talk a little bit about golf in Ireland and the Open Championship coming up. So stay with us as you're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa and you'll be connected.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at the Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. He's Bob, Bob Bubka, V-O-G on Twitter. That V-O-G for Voice of Golf. You can find me, Jay Randolph Jr., STL Golf Geek. Bob, I was telling my assistant pro yesterday morning, I said, son, if the health of the game was equivalent to the health of what's going on that PGA Tour, boy, we'd be in tall cotton in the golf business.
Well, well said, Jay. I mean, Jay Monahan, I don't even think he needs to wear shoes because his feet cannot be on the ground. He's got to be floating sky high. You know, you got the established superstar in Brooks Koepka. You got somebody like Matt Wolf now that's generating all kinds of excitement. And then you have Tiger winning a major. And by the way, for those interested in how's Tiger going to do in Ireland and does he think it's important? Well, this week he started getting up, get this, at 1 a.m. in the morning. He's trying to avoid the jet lag when he gets to Ireland. So he's going to spend a week here in the States getting up at 1 a.m. every morning. Then when he gets to Ireland, if he gets up at 1 a.m. in the U.S., it's already 7 in the morning over there. I don't think anybody's ever tried this formula before. We'll have to wait and see if it works.
This is no shot at Ernie Els or Padraig Harrington or Phil Mickelson or Tom Lehman or whoever you want to throw out there. The guys that Tiger Woods is teeing it up against today or did at the Masters and will at Port Rush are, in a sense, light years better than the guys that were playing then. You know, it's hard to put eras in perspective. The game has changed. There's no doubt about it. Bob was talking about it. Gary Hallberg was the first ever four-time All-American in college coming out of Wake Forest. He was just trying to keep his tour card. I mean, and Matt Wolf came out and in his fifth PGA Tour start, his fourth as a professional, won. It took Tiger five times. And his buddy, his high school guy battled in high school, was only a shot back, and so was a young guy named Bryson DeChambeau. Bob, it is a unique time. I mean, you could just keep throwing them out. You could say Spieth. You could say Dustin Johnson. You could say Jason Day. You could say Rory McIlroy. I mean, and we haven't mentioned Rahm. I mean, it's maddening how good these guys have become and are, and the health, as you said. Yeah, Fincham had Tiger, and that was big, and there's no question about it. But Mr. Monahan is set up pretty well with what we got coming.
You know, you got to take a look at Jordan Spieth. I think in 2019, Jordan Spieth got 10 years older than he was before the year started, because these young guys, you go up to Matt Wolf, say, would you be intimidated by playing Jordan Spieth? Matt Wolf liable to say, well, I know I wouldn't be intimidated, but you better ask Jordan Spieth. He might be intimidated playing me. I mean, he hits it so far, and he does it with such ease, but he does it with one other ingredient. He does it with so much joy. And boy, yep. If you love this sport, Jay, you know, and there's no two guys that love it any more than you and I, you'd love it when you see guys performing at the highest level, but enjoying it. And that's what you get when you watch Matt Wolf.
It's a fun time, Bob. There's no doubt about it. I know you guys are fired up to make the trip over to the Emerald Isle. We both played golf over there. Janice has played golf over there. We know how the people are. And the next couple of weeks should be fun.
It's certainly something that I look forward to. First time back, as you mentioned earlier in the show, since 1951. We're going back to Northern Ireland for the Open Championship. Bring it on, baby. Bring it on.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.